This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's fascinating is the number of times I can say used car salesperson to a group, to individuals. Even I've mentioned it to people who are literally in other countries outside the US, and they all come up with and describe the same picture of the same kind of person doing the same kind of things, even if they've never bought a used car from a used car salesperson at a used car dealership in that mode, right? Which isn't fair to everyone who sells cars or used cars, but it's in their mind just because of what they see on TV or experience from other people. Now, where this matters and why I'm talking about all this is because you bring with you, you, when you go into a sales role. There's one constant, one consistent thing day in and day out, and that's you. You're you. You're bringing you with you, your experiences, your skills, your traits, your abilities, your talents, and some baggage. You're bringing some things with you. Your preconceived notions, your filters, your ideas of what makes sense and what doesn't make sense and what you can do about it. Here's the hard part. Most people aren't aware of these little things, these experiences that build up, or big experiences that happen, leave an imprint. And most people that I see don't realize what they're bringing with them. They don't realize this bias because it's just the world they see. It's the filter, it's the lens they see the whole world through. And they literally think that's just the way it is and that everyone else sees it that way, or they're not realizing this limitation, right? Most people are aware, if you've read enough books or seen enough movies or watched things, like, you know, motivational wise, is that we have our limiting beliefs. Like, you know, why can some people make billions of dollars and others can't? Well, it's you, at some level, it comes down to a belief and an internal idea, internal limitations, nature, nurture, all these different factors. But most people have a sense that that's the case, even if they don't do something about it. In this situation, with what we're talking about here, is you're bringing these ideas and thoughts of what's good, of what's bad, what's right, what's wrong as a customer into your sales role, and then you're going to sell from that way. Let me give you another example, because this happened to me years ago. And I remember the moment I found it out. I was new to management. I'd only been managing for a few years. I just switched companies. So I was managing a new company of inside salespeople. And I wasn't great at the stats yet and looking at numbers. And then I started looking at it, and then something jumped out at me. So here's what happened. And we were helping people with credit card debt get into counseling programs, right? So we were helping them get out of debt and avoid bankruptcy by various programs that would help them in those situations for people who qualified, who were in certain situations and had certain hardships. And so we were getting mostly inbound calls or live calls. And a lot of times it was a qualification process where you go through the script, you go through the process, collect their information, put it in the system. It says if they qualify or not, if they have debt that can be put into the program, and then you move them forward, right? It's pretty basic. If somebody qualifies and it makes sense, then it's pretty linear and it's a pretty quick process. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. Some people obviously need to think about it. They need to talk to a spouse. There's all that sales stuff, but most of the time it would be a, you know, even in the same day interaction where they get enrolled for a program, right? It wasn't overly complex. It didn't need to be long drawn out, like long sales cycle, right? We're not selling enterprise software. And so one of the things I noticed is once I started diving into the stats is that most of the team, they were closing, most of their enrollments were coming within about 2 days, like average pipeline. There were some long ones, some short ones, and they were averaging between 2 to 3 days from the time they took the lead to when they enrolled somebody, right? And it was pretty consistent. Then I had this one rep, and she had, hers was at 21 days. I still remember it to this day. I can remember seeing it on the report and it just jumped out. Her average time to close was 21 days. Everyone else was 2 to 3. Hers was 21 days. So then I started listening to the calls. And what I noticed was that what she was doing was instead of doing the process through as it was drawn out, as it was supposed to happen in one shot and could, if everything lined up and the person had all their information and documents in front of them, then it was an easy process. Imagine going to the DMV and you just want to get it done. You want to get it done in one visit. You don't want to keep coming back. Imagine that with your debt. And so what she was doing, instead of following this process that could be done continuously, she was getting to different points in the process and literally ending the call on her side to tell people she would call them back. So instead of like giving them information up front, she'd be like, all right, now that I got all your stuff, I'm going to put it in the system and I'll call you back in 2 days, right? That process could be done on the spot, like literally could be run through in the system. She said, I'll call you in 2 days. Then she would call them back. And then what happened is she'd go through some more of it and say, okay, based on this, you should get approved for the program. The next part, the application, I'll call you next week to go through the application. And then she would call them back again. And she would stretch this potentially one conversation enrollment out to 21 plus days with multiple calls, usually 4 to 6 phone calls. And so what happened was I then sat down and talked with her. And here's the point. Here's what I want you to understand in this example is I sat down with her and I said, so I noticed all your stuff is really long. What is going on? Like, we have this process. You should be able to take somebody through. I noticed that instead of moving someone further in the process, you're literally ending it. And her exact response still resonates to me to this day. And this is 2010, right? So we're talking 12-ish years ago. Her exact response was, well, I would never buy anything in one conversation on the phone. And so I wouldn't want to do that to anybody else. So her internal compass, viewpoint of the world, bias, whatever word you want to use, you can pick whichever one you want, was that because she as a customer would never buy anything in one conversation without doing research because of some issues she's had in the past and her own perspective of doing research and analyzing things and making sure it's the right choice, what she was then doing was taking perfectly qualified people who some of those recordings, they were ready to go. They were like, how do I sign up for this today? I really need help. And she was still saying, that's great. I got to run it through the system. I'll call you Tuesday next week. Somebody who's literally ready to go. They're not worried about it. They understand they need help. They trust the process. They trust the company. She was still applying her filters to those people, to everybody, and then making everyone drag out a process that didn't need to be dragged out. Because for her, she would never do X. She felt it was wrong to do X for other people, even when she knew what we were doing was of service to other people. And that's one of the biggest challenges I see is where somebody knows they're working for a company, selling a product or service that really benefits the customers. And there's a filtering process, which means not everyone wins. Not everyone is a client, right? There's people who qualify and there's people who disqualify. Like for that program we had, if you didn't have certain credit cards or you didn't have a certain amount or with certain companies, then you didn't qualify. There was nothing we could do to help you. And it was a no. It was a sorry, you don't qualify. Usually it was congratulations, you don't qualify. Like you don't need this level of help. And here's some other programs that would help you.